Hello. How are we today? Look, Lux is here. Avalyn Rosie.
Hello. We are Sisters in Business.
We are. And this is our first podcast of a new series. And today we are going to talk about all the businesses opening up. Everyone's opening up this weekend. Pubs, restaurants, salons, hair salons, that is. They're all opening Monday, roughly, aren't they, Rosie?
Yes. Well, today is the 1st of July, 2020. And the plan is that everything that can reopen, reopens on Saturday, the 4th of July. Independence Day, strangely enough. So, yes, there are a lot of excited ladies and gents who can't wait to have their hair cut.
Well, personally, Avril here, I can't wait to have my hair coloured. I really can't. I didn't even do it myself. I was going to, and I thought, no, I'm going to let this go and see how it feels. And for me, it's a bit of a mark of lockdown that I have this white stripe and a few other bits, and I've decided I'm keeping the white stripe.
We're calling it the Marlin Streak. I didn't know what
Malin,
that was.
Malin,
I had to Google it. And then I went, ah, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's now the lockdown streak in my book.
Yes.
And I'm having it professionally done again. I'm already booked in. I can't wait. I'm booked in for the 8th of July in Harrington's Hairdressers in Windsor. And they're getting all ready to set that up. And Rosie has some exciting news on that front, because Rosie is going to be helping them set up the new normal.
Yes, I am a hair and makeup artist in my own right, freelance, and everything, all my work has literally fallen off a cliff. I do a lot of weddings and everything's been rescheduled to next year, so I'm going to be helping Harrington's over the next couple of months to run things in the new normal, as you said. So all week the team there have been setting up and getting ready to open their doors
and
on Saturday.
What sort of things have they been doing, Rosie?
Well, the screens have been introduced and a lot of procedures are in place, and it's teaching the team there how things are going to be different, because it's not going to be the same experience as it was before lockdown. When, for example, just to give you a little hint of what will be happening, there are screens by reception, there are screens in between the chairs, there's a lot of social distancing. The teams have been split into two teams. There's team one and team two, so that they can alternate their days, and there's a rota being worked out. And what also will happen is when you arrive for your appointment, you will be given a pack which contains a disposable gown, gloves and a mask. You can bring your own mask if you want to, but you'll be given a whole pack. So you will hang your own coat up, you will put on your disposable gown, which is a little tie system, just tie it around your neck, and then your stylist will come and get you and they'll bring you to your seat.
So that's very interesting about disposable gowns and things.
Yes.
Did you also tell me that there was an app of some sort where the stylists know when they're customer has arrived?
Yes. So this is a brand new system for the Harrington's group, which has been introduced through lockdown. And what happens is now every stylist and every trainee will have an app on their phone, which links to the system. So when they arrive at reception, whoever's on reception will check you in on the computer system, and that will send a notification to the app on the stylist's phone so that they know that their client has arrived, because they're trying to minimise
contact
with every single person in the salon, because you can only have so many people in the salon at a time. That includes stylists and customers. So it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a very different way of working for everyone, for the team and for a customer experience. And it's making it as seamless and clean and safe as possible to minimise contact, but still have your hair done and still have a nice time. Another thing that won't be happening is you won't be offered any drinks, any complimentary drinks, unless you want a glass of water.
I thought you were going to say a glass of wine, darling.
No, so if you want to bring a drink, bring your own drink, you can. So it's just going to be a very different experience, and not just in Harrington's, in every other salon.
So we've been studying other salons, haven't we?
Yes.
And we've noticed another salon we know very well, Smith and Cullen, have also, they're ready. We've seen screens
yes.
go up between the chairs. It's very interesting, I find, between the different sizes of salons. It's going to hit them really hard, isn't it? Because they're going to they have to reduce the number of people working, number of stylists.
Absolutely.
And which means they're all going to have to work longer hours to fit everybody in and still make it financially viable.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, the shifts for the stylists and everyone will be longer, but they will work less days a week. So it'll be the same amount of hours just crammed into the shortest amount of time possible in order to welcome clients and to give everyone a nice experience still and to have that service done that we all took for granted before lockdown.
Yes.
So it's going to be very, as I said, very interesting.
There are
a real experience.
Lot of people who can't wait
yes.
to get back for haircuts and trims and styling and hair colour. And I'd say Boris needs a little trim himself. Have you seen him lately? Yes.
Oh, he definitely needs help.
His blonde locks are flowing in the wind at the minute. So, yes, I think it's massively interesting. It's very brilliant that you are involved now with Harrington's because you'll get to see it firsthand. And at some point we will revisit that experience on this podcast just to see how it's working and see how things have changed and other things that will be flagged up as that all starts to go live. So I just want to also just chat to you, Rosie,
mm-hmm.
about other beauty services, because as a hair and makeup artist, hair is okay at the minute, but you can't too very much. You haven't been able to work for 3 months on the makeup and beauty side, mm-hmm. and this is affecting salons, spas, nail salons up and down the country.
Yes.
And I was reading today that hair and beauty is a £2 billion industry in the UK, and that is not to be sniffed at. And it affects a lot of women mainly, not just women clients. Women are the predominant workforce in this sector and they're all itching to get back. So tell us about your business and your bookings that have been moved and weddings and everything else.
Yes, so I haven't worked since the middle of March. And I cannot wait to get back to work. So when it was announced a couple of weeks ago that the hair salons could reopen, a lot of mobile and freelance hair and makeup artists such as myself were thinking, oh wow, can we get back to work? And then of course it was announced that the beauty salons cannot open yet, because it's a very tactile industry and it's all about this virus is all about touching faces and not touching your own face. So you can't go and then touch someone else's face as a makeup artist. It just doesn't make any sense at the moment while the virus is still out there. So business-wise, it has affected every single strand of business that I have. I had 30-plus weddings booked in this year, and every single wedding has been rescheduled. So I have a couple in the autumn, but majority, 99%, have been moved to 2021.
Wow.
And I completely understand that, because yesterday, there was another, or was it yesterday, the day before, the government put out an announcement about weddings and how there's only small weddings are permitted. So for the ceremony, there are 30 people allowed, and then for the actual reception, well, there is no reception.
No,
they've said no
reception. Well, you can have two households at a reception outside in a garden, up to 30 people. So unless you've got 15 people in a household and each side is going to come to that reception, I don't know how that's going to work.
I think it's going to be a relief for a few couples.
Yes,
actually,
I think it probably
who
is.
Maybe we're being pressurised into having a larger wedding than they really wanted. So I'm imagining there will be couples out there who will be very happy with this, so they can have their wedding and they can have a small affair. However, there are a large number of brides and grooms and partner couples out there who want a big celebration. Hence, they've rescheduled to next year. And they couldn't even reschedule their dates because a lot of the hotel workers and wedding coordinators...
were all furloughed.
Yes, had been furloughed. So they couldn't get in touch with anyone. So they had to wait until the hotel, their hotel contact had come back to work so that they can get in contact and speak to the registrars and speak to the venue. So it's been a whole... machine working behind the scenes trying to get couples to reschedule their dates. And I noticed in the last 2 weeks I've had lots and lots of contact from lots of couples saying, right, we need to, this is our new date, are you available, can you do it? So it's been really interesting. It's been heartbreaking.
Yeah, I know because the biggest day of people's lives, and they've spent months and months, yes, planning things,
sometimes years.
I think this might spark a trend in people doing weddings differently. Because some people, as you say, are going ahead with the small wedding in the very near future. And they might also then, instead of having another wedding next year, they might just have a fabulous big party.
Yes.
Which might be the way to do it. Just have your celebration next year, but you don't have to go through the same format. Maybe they won't have the big meal. You know, they might have some quick vows and then have a fabulous party later. I think that would be great.
Well, Avril is an event stylist, creator and organiser.
Oh,
so
thank you, darling.
I think you'll be very excited about this prospect.
I know, I think it would be marvellous.
You have arranged fabulous award ceremonies. So a big wedding party as opposed to the whole day, people can really go to town then on that party.
I know, so they can have a bit more fun, I would suggest. They can theme it maybe a bit more. Maybe they can, instead of having the sit-down, where I always find it's a little bit formal, just lighten it up a bit and just have a fabulous drinks reception and then an amazing party with some great entertainment, DJ and singers and things. We have a vested interest in this as well, by the way, because we are entertainers as well. But I just want to go back to that party theming, because I think, ideally, if I was one of those bride and grooms... Mm-hmm. Having a smaller ceremony now, I would then love to have a, what do you call it, a little,
gathering?
No, the ceremony bit, a little bit of a renewal of vows or whatever it's called.
Like
call
a maybe a,
yes,
celebrant.
Yes, a celebrant, yes. And have that maybe outside, ideally. There's a lovely place near here, Oakley Court. They have this amazing canopy, outdoor canopy by the
stretch
river.
I'm a preferred supplier for the hair and makeup for Oakley Court, so I absolutely love the venue. And yes, the stretch
but
marquee.
I love the stretch marquee because it would be fabulous to have a celebrant celebration by the river there and then have everyone underneath that canopy with maybe some really cool food trucks,
yes,
and champagne. And a bit of a party there, because actually if the weather's not absolutely perfect, at least you're under cover, but you're outside.
Yes.
And it's beautiful
right by
setting.
The river. It's so
We're not getting paid by Oakley Court. No. We just love it. And so that's why I was just thinking that would be an amazing way to do things.
Yes.
And I think for those bride and grooms who are maybe under a bit of financial pressure, that might be the way to move forward with those weddings.
Yes, so they can still have a celebration.
Yeah,
further. So the I call it the legal bit, the actual ceremony, which obviously is very important. And I have noticed over the last couple of years that some couples go and have the legal bit done before the actual wedding and don't tell anybody.
Yes.
So the guests all think that they are witnessing the legal bit.
They can go to town on the wedding.
Yeah. So they have the legal procedure done a week before or the day before, and then it takes a little bit of the pressure off. But they still have a beautiful day and vows are said and everything. But I think this could buck a trend for a new way of doing things.
It could, because actually it might bring it back to what weddings are all about, which is the love and the union of two people coming together, you know? And you shouldn't have to spend an absolute fortune. Some people will still want to spend an absolute fortune, but it should become a more intimate
family
celebration
day.
And then a fabulous celebration as well. So that's what I would recommend. I think it could really buck the trends here. And, of course, all the pubs and restaurants are opening this weekend.
Yes, there have been a lot of people out there who literally cannot wait for the pubs and restaurants to open. But, again, it's going to be a very different experience.
Yes. So I am involved with a number of pubs and restaurants on the marketing front. And they, it's a real financial, commercial decision for them in how these things move forward. So social distancing is going to be very difficult for them. They're all looking at apps for ordering.
Mm.
It depends how much space they have.
All table service?
Yes, table service. But they need, whether it's financially viable will only come forth in the next few weeks, about how many people they can fit in, how socially distanced they are, how they manage the service in those places, table service. I love table service, actually, because that's what we love. We go to America a lot, and we love table service. Mm. But I also do love standing at a bar in a traditional British pub. So it'll remain to be seen how many people actually venture out this weekend. And I have a lot of, you know, I feel for the publicans and those people who have their own businesses. It's a really difficult time for them. Really difficult. I mean, some pubs I've heard are maybe thinking of not opening because, you know,
yes, we've been reading
can't make the money, can't make it work. And some publicans have maybe waited a few weeks to see how it goes for everybody else. Mm. And, of course, there's still a threat out there. So maybe that's a good strategy to hold things back for a little bit and see how things work.
Yes, because there are people still shielding, so people still have to be very careful. The virus is still out there. So the whole social distance is so important and minimising contact with people. And that, in the industry, pubs and restaurants, is a tactile...
Yes, it's a social thing. Environment. And when, you know, people have had a few drinks, you can possibly imagine where that might go. Those inhibitions and resolutions might just drop faster than ever. So what I've noticed on that front as well is that quite a lot of pubs and restaurants are only opening until 9 o'clock, starting at midday and going through to 9 o'clock, which I think is a really sensible approach at this point.
Yes.
And as I mentioned before, so we're entertainers, so... We have a band and we have our sister act and we have
It's called the Skin and Blister Sisters.
And we have an acoustic act as well with Captain Crunch. And all of our bookings have just disappeared. And we do a lot of parties and weddings and, of course, they've all disappeared as well. So we're watching this sector very closely to see when things might open up. And we... know that we will be, don't we, Rosie? We know we'll. Mm. This will be one of the last things to open. Some venues we play in as a band are just social live music events. You wouldn't pop in there during the day. They're not open during the day. So you can't pop in and go for a little drink.
No.
So their whole business is based around lots of people packed together having a really good time.
Which isn't going to happen for a very long time. So we've been watching all of the news on this as well. And live music isn't permitted because they're worried about the singers spitting.
Yes.
Basically.
Oh, we need a big screen of our own, darling.
Screen. Individual screens. But we just know that this is going to take a long time for everything to come back. And if it ever goes back to the way that it was, I'm not sure that it will.
I'm not sure it will. I think if it is, it'll take a long time. I've been reading a lot about the Spanish flu. And I think it took years, although there's not very much documented about the Spanish flu that happened around 1918. And the reason is because it was the middle of World War One, and all of the different countries didn't want to admit that they had a problem because they were all proudly sending propaganda out there that said, we are amazing and we're all healthy and strong, and, you know, so... That's why it was called the Spanish flu. Here's a little tidbit for it. It's called the Spanish...
You didn't think we were getting a history lesson today.
But it was called the Spanish flu because the Spaniards were the first to actually put that in the media because they weren't involved in any war. So they had no problem about saying, oh dear, something really bad is happening. There's this virus and hundreds and thousands of people are dying. So that's how they got the moniker of the Spanish flu. Wasn't even their fault. They think it originated in the USA.
As we're calling this one the Chinese flu.
Yes, yes. So it's very
interesting times. So, you know, from lockdown in the middle of March to now we're on the 1st of July. It's a very different world. We hope you're all safe and well out there. And it's affected a lot of thousands of people in very different ways.
Yes, and it will continue to, and it'll hit businesses really hard. And we hope that things come back as soon as possible. Everybody healthy and business back to normal, but we don't know how long that will take, obviously.
It's scary times, and today we were looking at the news, and you know, airlines are
lots of businesses
people unemployed or redundant.
I know. And where is it going
to
go?
We just have to be careful and look after each other.
We do, and we will continue to talk about it a lot, and that's why we thought we would start this podcast. Because we talk about it a lot ourselves, but we just thought we'd share our chats with you as well. And we're going to be reporting back on some of the things we talked about, because they are very interesting times. And I know there are hundreds and thousands of podcasts out there, but we'd love you to listen to us.
Yes. We've got a list of topics that we thought we would talk about. I'm not going to tell you what they are now, but we are going to have some guest interviewees, including a lovely lady called Susie, who is the president of the British Recycling and Metal Association.
British Metal and Recycling Association.
And she's just been voted in for her third term, her third year, and she's the first lady to ever be president of this.
It's an amazing accolade. Yes. It is. And as sisters in business, we love women in business.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we won't have some men guests as well, because we love all of the men in our lives as well.
Yes. So we will be back soon, yes, with lots of other things to talk about. We're going to review the opening of the hair salons and pubs and restaurants in a couple of weeks' time. When we see what's happening, we'll have a chat about that, and I'll let you know how everything goes at Harrington's Hairdressing.
Yes. So we'll catch up soon, darlings.
Thanks for listening. We're Luke Lux.